Our nation is a mess. I want to encourage you men to pray like you have never prayed before. You see, this is not going to be about Democrats or Republicans. It's about the Lord's church. We need to be people of prayer. This election coming up in November is important. The Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So men, pray like you've never prayed before, because I believe we can change things. Don't vote just because of a party, but vote for what's right. Vote for what's right. God will lead you in what's right if you study His Word. And maybe we can change our nation. You know, politicians are a lot like baby diapers. That's right. Every once in a while they need to be changed. And God can use us to do the dirty work and change those politicians. So I encourage you to do that. My name is
Mark Billiter, and I approve that message.
Had nothing to do with my sermon. Well, maybe it does. But what I want to do today is to rally the troops. Rally the troops. We need to be encouraged. We need to be uplifted. We need to be told from God's Word what we need to be doing. And we need to be rallying. Remember, Mike, you know, when they had them pep rallies at school? You know, sometimes the team didn't do too hot, but we still got in there and we got all fired up for them anyway. We did have a good wrestling team. Yeah, went state champions many times. But today we need to be rallied. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host doth flee. On then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices loud, your anthems raise. Onward, Christian soldiers. If you have been bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have been immersed for the remission of your sins and received the gift of the Holy Spirit, you have enlisted in an army. And we are in a battle. A battle today in our society and in our world like we've never been before. We are in a battle against Satan and his forces of evil. And we need to know that we need to stand like soldiers in an army. I know that there's many different ways to interpret the book of Revelation, and this is one way, and this is this way, and I'm am I still on? Is there a feedback or something going on? Is it all right now? I'm not used to all these electronics. I'm afraid I'll blow up. But we need to be rallied. We need to be encouraged to go as soldiers in this army we have enlisted in. And we need not to be AWOL. We need to be on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ and His church. I would like to use one passage of Scripture that's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let's pray. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your holy inerrant word. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would help us, Lord, to understand this verse today. And I pray, Lord, that we will apply it to our life, that we will be the soldiers that you would have us to be who have enlisted in this war that we're fighting against Satan. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would just give us the zeal and the enthusiasm and the excitement to, Lord, to go forth with the beautiful message of Jesus Christ in a world that's lost and dying and going to an eternal hell. Lord, lift us up. Help us as we fight this battle. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I want to tell you something. I know that I remember Clarence Greenleaf used to teach in the book of Revelation that the Battle of Armageddon wasn't going to be something that's taking place over there, but it's something that's happening right now. It's the battle of the mind. It's good versus evil, and it's going on today, and I believe that. I believe it's going on today. Now, there's different, you know, versions and how people interpret that and so forth. I'm not getting into that today, but I do believe we're in a spiritual battle. We're in a battle today, and if you don't believe we're in a battle, then I feel sorry for you, because we are. The Bible tells us that we need to put on our gospel armor, and it tells us that in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, starting with verse 11, the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Beloved friends, we need to put on that gospel armor as soldiers in this battle against sin and the battle against what's going on in our society and in our world today. This is a time of world revolution. It's a time of world hunger. It's a time of inflation. It's a time of credibility gaps. It's a time of loose morals. We see that happening all the time. It's a time of bad government. Don't we see that? It's a time of divorce and darkness. But the greatest problems that men have today are spiritual problems. And our most significant contributions to mankind can be through the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to present Christ as the answer and the solution to all man's needs. We must not be a people running around treating superficial conditions when the real need is for open heart surgery. What the world needs, what our nation needs more than anything, is Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Here in our text, God gave his people an ageless formula for spiritual peace, prosperity, and power. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, as we look at that verse of scripture again in the Bible, let's look there again. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I want you to notice something here. The key to that verse of scripture is my people. Now, he was talking about Israel back then, but who are God's people today? The people today that are God's people is his church that Jesus shed his precious blood for on the cross of Calvary. God's people today, his church, and if the Lord's church today and all his people were totally committed and totally sold out to him, and dedicated, this nation would have a spiritual revival. And I believe it's high time that the Lord's church humbles themselves and pray. It's time of repentance needs to take place in the church. And it's time that we re-enlist in the army of the Lord so that the church can take a stand and fight against the battle of evil that's in this world today. First of all, we must stand for stronger Christian homes. In a day when alternative patterns for the home are being offered, the church, the home, must offer strong biblical principles as we once did. This nation could turn around if we started offering the principles that we once did. The home and the church must stand to speak of biblical principles governing marriage and family today. This will never be done by hearing a sermon preached, but it must be taught by the example of Christian moms and dads. You see, a lot of times the mom and dad send the children to Sunday school or church thinking that the church will take care of their responsibility. But see, it boils down to the parents need to take responsibility. Think about this. The divorce rate has reached epidemic proportions, even in the church families. Until some sections of our nation, there are more divorce decrees granted than marriage license. And you know something? I know that there's people who've been hurt, and I know there's people who suffer through divorce. But you know, God said to leave mom and dad and cleave to one another. He never said leave one another. And all how we need to remember that. We have in our world, our society today, teenage drinking. I know down in Ocean City, Maryland, they call them June bugs. They go down there in the summertime and they show them on the news and they're funneling liquor, alcohol down their throat. And then acting like fools and falling off the balconies of these big high-rises. Then there's drugs, all kinds of drug issues. We have gangs. It might not be bad where you're at, but in Salisbury, Maryland, my son is a police officer in the city of Salisbury, Maryland, and there have been 6 murders that have taken place just recently. That's more than Washington, D.C., This past week was called Gang Initiation Week. And they were rallying in the school, the public school, to say, watch out for this certain type of young person. Because they believe that if they shoot somebody, they could get in the gang. Every third pregnancy involves a teenager. Then I think about what happened at my alma mater just recently. One of the young men walked in the dorm room, was mad at the other one, and took a gun and shot him and killed him right there on the college campus. You can't tell me that we're not in a spiritual battle. And us, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, needs to rally. We need to be fired up. We need to get down on our knees and humbly pray before the God who created us. I believe God took a bunch of dirt and spread it out on the ground and he breathed into it through the nostrils of this clay that he made and it became a living soul. The God created man and man deviated from the standard that God set forth. And because of that deviation, we need to get down on our knees and pray humbly. Look with me, if you will, in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. The Bible says here, Paul talking to the young evangelist Timothy, he says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's the problem. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Do we see that in the world today? Do we see that in the church today? It's more important to go out and ride your boat on the Lord's day than to meet around the Lord's table on the Lord's day, or to go camping or to go somewhere else. Friends, we've got to get back to God. If we want this nation to get back, we have to get back. The church has to get back. The Lord's church must not, should not, and cannot stand it by irresponsibly to leave these crying evils unchallenged, or the devil is going to win. We must humble ourselves and pray. We must get involved for the sake of Christ, for the sake of lost souls. Don't you know someone who's lost, dying and going to go into an eternal hell without a Savior? We started something at the Gateway Church of Christ where I'm at. We call it PIE Evangelism. PIE just stands for People in Evangelism. And we have pie night once a month where everybody comes together. I like pie. I tell the women I want lemon meringue pie. And we sit and we have fellowship. But then we break up into four different groups. We have a prayer group. And I told the folks, I said, you can do something for evangelism. You might not be able to go knock on a door. It might not be your talent. But you can pray. Pray for that lost soul. We're not praying for grandma's big toenail. Nothing like that. We're praying for the lost. And then we have a group that checks on the people that have been absent. And they pray for them. We have a group that is like a communication group to send cards and emails and letters to folks, encouraging them to be there and come. And then we have our calling group that goes out once a month. And because of that, we've had several visitors come. You know, people will come if you ask them, but many times we don't even ask. There's people dying lost and going to hell without a Savior, all for the sake of the morality of our nation. I say this morning that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to stand up. We need to take a stand. We can't change the world if we let the world change us. Secondly, the church must penetrate the world, not just America, but the whole world. Jesus reminds us that ye are the salt of the earth. We will penetrate the earth if we emphasize clean living, preach the gospel at home and abroad. The gospel has a certain penetrating power that can change people's lives, their hearts, and their minds. The Apostle Paul said that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that you have with meekness and with fear. It's a nice bass tone. Are we able to do that? Are we able to give an answer to every man that asks us a reason for the hope that we have? We have the testimony of the eyewitness accounts that Jesus Christ came to this earth, that he lived on this earth, that he died between two thieves on a Roman cross, that he was placed in a borrowed tomb. But thanks be to God, through the power of the resurrection, we today can have hope. Something that the world needs. The world needs Jesus. And we can take the message of the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be S-A-V-E-D, saved. Amen. The message of Jesus is for a lost world. And we must be about our Father's business. The gospel is powerful. Amen. It changed old Thomas from a doubter to a believer. When Thomas saw Jesus, and Jesus said, come on, Thomas, put your fingers in the holes in my hand. Put your hand in my side. And he fell on his knees and he said, my Lord, my God. And Jesus said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. We have the testimony of the eyewitness accounts and we see people's lives change. It was Peter who denied Jesus.
But the same Peter who denied Jesus was the same Peter that on the day of Pentecost preached the gospel message to the Jews that day. And that Bible says they were pricked in their heart and asked, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And about 3,000 that day were obedient to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the beginning of the Lord's church on the day of Pentecost. You see, the gospel message has power to change people's hearts, to change people's lives, if we only use that power. Salvation is found in Jesus, in His name. No other name under heaven is there that we must be saved. It's in His body. Salvation is in His body. Ephesians 5:23, Christ is the head of the church and Savior of the body. Salvation is in His blood. Matthew 26:28, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And in order to get into Christ, one must believe that beautiful message of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Change their heart, their life through repentance. Confess Jesus before men. "He who confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father which is in heaven." And then we need to be baptized into Christ, into His name, into His body, into His blood. And then we need to be faithful unto death. That's enlisting as a soldier in the army of the Lord. And you're either in Christ or you're outside of Christ. There's no straddling the fence. You're either in or you're out. Just like them two old skunks. One's name was in, one's name was out. When in was in, out was out. When out was out, in was in. One day, in went out and got lost. In and out's mother. Mother skunk told out to go out and find in. So out went out and looked all over the place. Finally found in, brought in back. Then in went in. Then in and out's mother looked it out and said, "Out, how in the world did you find in?" Said, "Oh, it was easy, Ma. Instinct." You're either in Christ or you're outside of Christ. There's no straddling the fence. Thirdly, this morning, the church must stand as a light in a sinful, dark America. Jesus is the light. We have a duty to love our country and to express our gratitude to God that we live in a nation where freedom of religion is permitted. I love America. It has a lot of problems, but friends, it's the greatest nation in all the earth. I wouldn't want to live in a third world country. We are spoiled. I believe that God has given us the freedom that we have so that we can take the gospel message to a lost and dying world. But if we start slowing up on our work, our freedom might be taken away. This great nation was dedicated to God, and the devil hates that. The devil hates the church, and he's going to do everything he can to destroy the church or try to destroy the church. He's going to throw obstacles in our way. He's going to discourage us. He's going to cause us to want to give up and quit. But I believe today that America is worth standing up for and saving. So I say, let the church stand up and be a light in the darkness of our times. This year, the devil has worked on me. In 25 years, I've been preaching out on the Delmarva Peninsula, out there with old Ray Bennett, Shotgun Barrel Straight Ray. Been out there a long time. But this is the worst year that I've seen the devil working on me as a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of you, he's doing the same thing too. Some of your ministries, he's working on your ministries that you're trying and striving to serve the Lord. The economy has forced my wife and I to sell our home. Can't afford it. This is embarrassing. paid 5 years on a car, got ready to go to Hillsboro, Ohio. My wife, her pay had been cut because of the Christian school that we have there. They just can't afford to pay her much. She does it because she loves the Lord. And I love my wife. I love her dearly because she's sold out on Jesus. But she's had to go through some struggles to see these things happen. Before we went to Hillsboro, Ohio, I called the bank and I told them, I said, here's the situation. What can you do to help me? They set me up on a payment plan. And I said, now will this be okay? They said, sure. We got home. They had already taken the money out of my bank account for the payment on a vehicle. And in 2 days, my wife got up to go to school and she said, our car is gone. And when I called the finance company to find out what it was, they said, well, you owe some penalties because you were late. Well, seems like it doesn't stop. I came out here to the prayer clinic. I rode with my brother Homer here. Homer Keene, bless his heart, he came forward and gave his life to preach the gospel here at this Grundy Prayer Clinic. And Homer's a great encouragement to me. I rode with him out to the prayer clinic so my wife would have an old truck I got, a 99 GMC pickup truck, so she'd have something to ride to work. And we got out here and she called me. She said, good thing you didn't take that pickup truck to Grundy. Said, some kind of switch has gone bad in it. Now it don't run. I stayed up all night last night. I've got sleep apnea. And plugged in my sleep apnea machine and it blew up. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I'm sleepy, but I'm still going to preach. I'm telling you, the Lord's work has to be done, but the devil doesn't like it. Might be rough, but I'm going to rejoice in it. And some of you are going through some of the same things. When you're beaten down by the devil and you're about to give up and quit, remember whose army you're in. Winston Churchill was asked to speak at a graduation. He got up to speak. He said, young men and young women, never, 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 never give up. And he sat down. That was the end of his speech. And I'll say to you, as soldiers of the cross, as soldiers in the Lord's army, never, 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 never give up, no matter what the devil may throw your way. Remember, you're a soldier in the Lord's army. Remember, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Remember that God is your refuge and strength and very present help in troubled times. Remember, when the economy is bad, you may lose your home, your car, but not to sit down and give up. Remember that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Remember to humble yourselves and pray and stand up and be counted and not counted out. I am determined not to let the devil win. I am determined. I am a soldier in the army of my God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the word are my weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, tested by fire. I'm a volunteer in this army, and I'm enlisted for all eternity. I will either retire in this army at the end of time or die in it, but I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out. I am faithful, reliable, capable, dependable. If my God needs me, I'm there. If he needs me to teach a class or preach the gospel, I want to be there. If he wants me to try to win a neighbor to the Lord, I'll try to do my best. He can use me because I am there. I'm a soldier. I'm not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primed up, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. I'm a soldier in the Lord's army. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. I'm not a wimp. I'm in a place saluting my king and obeying his orders, praising his name and building his kingdom. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, candy, or give me handouts. I do not need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to. I am committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to be turned around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me into this army, I had nothing materially. If I end up with nothing, I will still come out ahead. I will win spiritually. My God has supplied all my needs and will continue to supply all my needs. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot delusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me, because I am safe in the arms of my Savior. I am a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me, for when my commander calls me from this battlefield, he will promote me and then allow me to rule with him. I am a soldier in the army and marching and claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I am a soldier, and I am heaven bound, and here I stand. Who will stand with me? Friends, it's time for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to stand up in the midst of a sinful and dark nation and be the light and example for others to follow, and humble ourselves, get down on our knees, and pray. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed.